Hi, this is an introduction to what I call the God chord, which is a chord that I discovered about 7 years ago when I got the idea to merge the major, minor, and diminished seventh minor chords. These are the only three chords that exist in music. So when I merged them, I made this amazing discovery called what I call the God chord. And I also discovered within that God chord what I call the chasm, which no one else until me has ever discovered either of these two, the chord or the chasm. So the chasm is not an interval, it's not a note, it's not attached to any note, it's just that, it's a chasm. It's a mysterious chasm, and it's the heart and soul of the chord. Now I have several diagrams of the chord because it involves mathematics, it involves music, and of course theology. I won't be publishing those until the book is printed, which I don't know when that will be. I've had no interest from any publishers so far. Now, the other three chords, major, minor, they're a polarity, you know, major and minor chord. But within these chords, there's polarities within the polarities. Because the major chord consists of a major and minor third, and the minor chord consists of a major and minor third. The diminished seventh minor chord is an anomaly because it contains four minor thirds. So to give you an idea how odd this is, in physics, this would be like having an atom that contains four electrons, no protons, no neutrons. It's impossible. Yet it exists in music. And this is the enigma here. Now, the fourth minor third of this is equivalent to the distance between the relative major and relative minor of any key, which is also a minor third. And the minor third, in one sense we can say that we eliminate it. Yet in another sense, it's still there, but it's hidden. We don't notice it. We don't see it. When a woman is pregnant, a woman first finds out she's pregnant. Wow, in 9 months from now, I'm going to give birth. She's counting 9 months. She is not counting 12 months. It's as if those other 3 months don't exist, even though they are part of the year. And then she gives birth. And so in music, there are only nine notes of any significance. Now, on the keyboard, of course, there are 12 in any scale, 12 notes, 12 keys. But it's as if they're not there. And so it is with what I call the red zone, which is the fourth minor third of the diminished seventh minor chord, and is also the distance between the relative major and minor keys. For example, the distance between A and C, if you're using the key signature of no sharps and no flats. This, what I call the red zone, let me elaborate on this. It's a minor third if the spans four notes, for example, A, A sharp, B, C. If you're counting up, you're counting three notes, not four. If you're counting up from A to C, you're counting A sharp, B, and C. That's a minor third. You're counting down from C, you're counting B, B flat, A. So that's three steps. It's a minor third. We can also look at the A and the C as being brackets, so that within that brackets you have two notes. You have the B flat and the B. The importance of this is that this is the entry and exit point. So imagine that you have all 12 notes or keys in a circle diagram, and I have to design that diagram and put it on the website. I have it on paper, but I don't have it on the computer diagram, so I have to create one yet. So getting back to God, why is this called the God chord? We've all been taught in church that God is omniscient, all-knowing, he's everywhere, he's in all, and all is in God, and God knows it all. Well, how does knowledge come? It comes from experience. So in order to know everything, you must experience everything. So if God knows everything, God must experience climbing Mount Everest, playing hockey, winning the Stanley Cup, freezing to death, being tortured, being happily married, enjoying your beautiful children, having a nice meal in a nice restaurant, being attacked on the street, everything, everything, everything. Otherwise, God is not God. But who is it that does this experiencing? It's you and me. It's man, from the Greek word anthropos, Strong's number 444. It's you and me, or man, capital M, that is God. If you're going to have a capital G with God, you have to have a capital G with man, because man is God. There's no difference here, you see. So, we do the experiencing. We are God. And so, how this works is, within, in ancient Egypt, Amun was the term for God. There was a temple at Karnak for Amun. And so, I came up with some terms for this. So within the realm of Amun, let's pretend Amun is a theoretical egg or shell. Within that and is the need for knowledge. And so that need has to come out of that shell and enter into the material realm and be born into this physical world, which is what this creation of man is about, by the way. And so I use a term what's in the realm of Amun, it's called the need for knowledge. When it breaks out of that shell, it becomes the idea. See, there's no polarity in the realm of God, pure God. Like in the realm of Amun, there's no polarity. When it breaks out of that shell, it becomes a polarity. Now, this is not literal locations in the universe. I'm just using this for illustration purposes, okay? So when it breaks out of that shell, it now becomes a polarity. The reason it becomes a polarity is because it is moving. Movement is negative. Fixed locations, things that don't move, are positive. In human sexuality, we see that in the male part moves, the female part does not move. But what I call the expanse, that is everything outside of the egg of Amun, the realm of Amun, is latent feminacy. It's not feminine, it's no polarity, but it's latent feminacy because it becomes feminine or positive by default of that male aspect, that movement, the idea entering into it. And so this is what we are, this movement. Now this movement gets the experience. This now enters into that circle I told you about with the scale. That's the entry point, the B flat. After the knowledge has been acquired, pardon me, once the experience is complete, then the knowledge has been acquired. Now it ascends back into the realm of Amun, so to speak, through the B. See, there's a polarity here, right? All right, you see that? So this is the red zone. Now, getting back to the number three, we've all been taught in church, in esoteric numerology, that not one represents God or one represents unity. I don't agree with that. I say the three represents God or unity. The reason is because if you have one of something, there's nothing to unify. So if I have one, okay, I'll ask you a question. We have a table in front of us. There's one apple on that table. I will tell you, please unify that apple. How are you going to do it? It's already a unit of one. You can't unify something that's already one. There's nothing to unify. So it's not unity. Actually, let me correct myself. I think I just said that one apple is already unity. Actually, it's not a unity because in order for it to be a unity, more than one thing have to be united to be a unity, and there's nothing to unite. So it's not a unity. One is not a unity. What we have when we have the need, that's item number one, the idea, item number two, and the realm of Amun is item number three. Now, once the experience has been gained, the knowledge has been gained, they're united with Amun. Now you have unity. This is, for example, if there was one apple on the table, one apple in the attic, and one apple in the cellar, and I told you, there's three apples in this house at three different locations. Go and unite the apples. Now you bring them all together. You put them in a bowl. Now you have unity. So we can say that now, getting back to, there are nine numbers. 10 is not a number, 11 is not a number, 12 is not a number. 10 is a combination of the number 1 and a 0, which is not a number. 11 is, I call them composites because they're composed of two or more numbers. So 11 is composed of two ones. 12 is composed of a 1 and a 2. But there's only nine numbers, and correspondingly, there's only nine principles. And there's only nine musical notes. Now, in reality, there's 12, but it's as if there's nine because the other three are just not counted. Just like a pregnant woman doesn't count the remaining 3 months. So now, when we, even with the intervals in music, they always add up to nine and not 12. So if you have, for example, a major seventh, you add that to, and you're going up, you're starting at any key. You go up a major seventh, you have to go down a minor second to make nine. If you're going up a minor seventh, you go down a major second, and so on. Sixth, third, fifth, fourth, and so on. And so it all adds up to nine and not 12. In the key signatures, let me go back here. The number three, the number nine, you could look at the number nine as being nine, or you could look at it as three. You could look at it as the number three with three aspects of the number three, or you could look at it as one number with three aspects of the one and then three aspects of those three aspects. You could look at it in either way. And in the material realm, numbers are polarities. For example, you have in conventional math, you have a positive one, a negative one, positive two, negative two. But this is not true in the spiritual realm because there's no polarity. And ultimately, there's no numbers either. If you're going to say that God is one in the spiritual realm, see, these numbers I'm using are only for reference points, they're for illustration so that our mind can comprehend the principles. But they don't exist within the spiritual realm. So if you're going to say that in the spiritual realm a three exists, you must also say that a two, a one, a four, five, six, seven, eight, nine exist, because a three needs those other numbers as a point of reference for that three to be able to exist in the first place. It's the same with one. So there are no numbers there. Now, nine comes up in more than one place. Nine numbers, nine musical notes. Diminished seventh minor chord, I've already covered that. In the key signatures, you have nine core key signatures, which correspond to the nine that I've already talked about. These are key signatures as a center point. You have zero sharps, zero flats, which is, of course, A minor, C major. Then you have one, two, three, four sharps on one side. You have one, two, three, four sharps on the other side. Even though it's a zero at the top, and you have four on one side, four on one side, you still have nine placeholders. Okay? There you have the nine again. The three that are not seen here are not noted, so to speak. So when we go up from those nine core key signatures, we get, so from four sharps, you get five sharps, which is the same key and harmonically as seven flats. Then you have six sharps, which is the same as six flats and harmonically. And then you have seven sharps, which is the same as five flats. On the other side, you go from four flats to five flats, which is the same as seven sharps. You get six flats, which is the same as six sharps. And then you get seven flats, which is the same as five sharps. But these final three sets of pairs of key signatures are not counted, just like the pregnant woman doesn't count those final 3 months. Now, the material realm is typified by hydrogen, which contains one proton and one electron only. It's also symbolized by the cluster of two black keys on the keyboard. Two is representative of the material realm. Three is representative of the spiritual realm, represented by deuterium, which contains one neutron, one proton and one electron, and is typified on the keyboard by three black keys, a cluster of three black keys. And so the you can divide two divides it into three. If you take 3 divided by 2, you get 1.5, and then 1 plus 5 is 6. But if you take 2 and try to divide 3 into it, you get 0.666666. And it's less than 2/3. It's also not a whole number. So the chasm now, on the one diagram on the website, I looked at the what I call the D center key scale. And on one or both of those diagrams, I drew the chasm between the fourth, the position number 4. And so imagine that you had the 2 4s at the bottom there. They cannot cross to each other. They cannot, let's say they're best friends, they're old buddies. And there's a huge chasm separating them. They cannot cross this chasm. The only way they can meet each other is go to the top of the hill where the 0 is and give each other a hug. Now they're reunited again. And this chasm is absolutely vital. And it's similar in some ways to the Fool card, or the also called the 0 card in the major arcana, or the trump cards. It's not the same, but at least it has some similarities to it. So in physics, the standard model that's used is magnetism and electricity. Both are polarities, but I don't do that. I use I use polarity and contrary motion. But contrary motion is not a polarity. Contrary motion is a function in music. That in voice harmony you are taught that you have to avoid what are called 55s and 88s, or consecutive fifths and consecutive eighths. And one of the ways to do that is to use something called contrary motion. The reason why, see, the material realm is a polarity, but the spiritual realm is not. So polarity cannot get that knowledge into the realm of a moon. Only contrary motion can, which is not a polarity. You see a big difference here. So on my diagram, the center key scale and the G sharp A flat center key scale, the horizontal is a polarity, but the vertical is the contrary motion. And So the God chord includes perfect symmetry, mathematical perfection, and musical perfection. But something important here is that you cannot have this chord unless it's played from the right key. Now, as I've already shown, there's only two keys. The diagram that you can have a scale from that have perfect symmetry, those are the center D, the D center key scale, and the G sharp A flat center key scale. But the God chord also has perfect symmetry. But something else that's crucial here is that also it's the key that you play this in that's important for another reason, because within all chords, you have, you know, all the different interval, minor second, major second, minor third, major third, perfect fourth, augmented fourth, perfect fifth, augmented fifth, major minor sixth, major minor diminished seventh. But all these contain different relationships between the black and the white keys that are unique to that specific key. And there's a lot of information within these intervals in terms of numbers as well. And this is intrinsic in the God chord as well. So it's not just that here's this interesting chord that, look at this chord, let's try it in this other key. You can't do that. It can only be played in one key. I'm going to have to put some more diagrams on the website, because I'm lacking some diagrams on there. So I need to do the circular scale. I have it in my book in that form, but I don't have it on a model that I can put on the web page. So keep checking back to the web page, and I'm going to keep adding more things to it.